I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Welcome back to a brand new episode of your very favorite program, Muslim Lady. Well, once again, I have the honor to be your host. Asma is in here. And then, unlike the usual format of this program today, we have a traveler from planet Mars into our zone. So, Brother Abdullah is with us to help us with some interesting topics. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
And thank you very much for being here. Maybe you're just not familiar with the rituals of this program, but mm-hmm. in here we talk about women and everything that is related to them.
Yes.
We're here to support women and all the Muslim ladies out there who are actually the engine of the society everywhere.
Definitely.
Of course. So as for today, we are going to have a look on some misconceptions about women.
Mm-hmm.
Like in some Western societies, they actually have these slogans and mottos about women. They talk about women's rights. And then there are also... Some counterexamples to what they say, and also we have some misconceptions about women. Like when it comes to Islam, many people regard it as a religion that would oppress women,
mm-hmm.
and they would bring some excuses, some words that are actually misinterpreted. Like, for example, women are the second-class citizens to the world, to the creation, and stuff like that. So would you please elaborate on those stuff?
If you look at the Bible, for example, the Torah, the Old Testament, the New Testament, woman is treated in such a manner that she's not even seen as a human being, which is a topic for another day, which I don't want to indulge myself in. Within the Islamic context itself, the problem with Muslims, let's say, not Islam, is that we have a lot of culture. We try to bend Islam to suit our culture,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to women. Okay, so Islam looked at women in such a manner that no philosophers, no theologians, no any piece of literature had ever glorified women as much as Islam did. Which, like you said, she's not only the engine of life, but she is the life itself. Without her, life would cease to exist. What happened is because of that culture, so we had that culture from different countries, and you also had this male culture pre-Islam. So pre-Islam, like if pre-Islam, mind you, across all civilizations without exceptions, whether it is the Byzantines, the Romans, the Persians, whatever empire you want to look at, women was looked at as, I wouldn't say the words that they've used, but at least like a very, very basic creature of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not even sometimes maybe even cattle or sheep were looked at higher. Well, and have more value. So Islam came and changed the entire thing. Having said that, a lot of this paganism mentality managed to sneak into Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, a lot of ahadiths were formed. Now, if you look at some Arabic countries, until now, women, like, they meant to stay in the kitchen and not talk and not this and mm-hmm. not that. No one misconception within Christianity and Judaism and also in Islam.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Sure.
Let's keep this climax, go for a break, and then we'll be back.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
welcome back. You're still listening to Muslim Lady. Well, after an introduction to how the situation was centuries ago and how they viewed women, we came to the point of Christianity.
Okay, so in Christianity and Judaism, in their Bible, and also, this is the amazing thing, within some Islamic sects, that is not the Ahlul Bayt sect, but any other sect, they have this hadith where they project women being created from the backbone of Adam, or the short backbone of Adam, to say that women are not important, women are second class, men are superior. Mm-hmm. Now, did you think that was just like something that came out of thin air? Obviously not. They were trying to build something on that. A man comes to Imam...
So from where they brought it, actually?
So this came from Christian and Jew theology.
Yeah.
And it was such an issue that this was brought to the Imams themselves. Okay? Mm-hmm. So a person comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says to him, well, he says, I asked Abu Ja'far alayhi salam, من أي شيء خلق الله حواء? From where or from what did Allah create Hawa? Now, the question that comes to my mind is, why would a companion of Imam Sadiq trouble himself to go to an infallible, take his time just to ask him that question? Mm-hmm. The idea is because they built so much on it, and based on that, women were treated miserably. Why? Because now they have a hadith to glorify their actions. So, and interestingly, the Imam Salamullah Alayhi, he says, أَيُّ شَيْءٌ يَقُولُ هَذَا الْخَلْقِ? This creation of God, what do they say? So first he wanted to see what's being said about women. So he said, يَقُولُونَ, they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَهَا مِنْ ضِلْعٍ مِنْ أَضْلَعِ آدَمٍ. He created her from one of the bones or one of the rib bones of Adam alayhi salam. Then the Imam Salamullah alayhi says, Faqal alayhi salam. And then the Imam, he's like, completely takes the discussion to a different perspective. He says, Akana ya'jaz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First, the Imam says, Kadhubu, they lied. That's the first thing the Imam begins with. He says, Akana ya'jaz, an yakhliqaha min ghayra dhul'ah. Is Allah so powerless, so hopeless, that he cannot create her from anything else besides his bone?
Yeah.
Like what, Allah ran out of material, yeah. He ran out of clay, he had no other materials to create Hawa from, that is like, oh, Adam, sorry, I had to borrow some from your rib to create a second-class citizen that you can use for your entertainment. The Imam says, كَذِبُوا, they lied. And then he says, فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَخْبَرَنِي أَبِي. Then he's trying to narrate from his father, from his forefathers, until he reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَبَضَ قَبْضَةٍ مِّن طِينٍ. He took a handful of clay. فَخَلَطَهَا. Then he mixed that clay. فَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا آدَم. He created from that clay Adam. وَفَضَلَتْ فُضْلَهُ. And then there was part left from that clay, and he created Hawa from that clay. Now, here the point the Prophet ﷺ is trying to make is that in terms of creation, both Adam and Hawa were created from the exact same material, which means there is no superiority in terms of me being created as a male from gold and you as a woman created from a silver. Mm-hmm. Or like the shaitan said, me from fire, him from mud.
And it's not about the extra material.
No. What it is about is that Allah created Adam first, but sequence.
Yeah.
In terms of sequence, Adam was created first. But does being created first in terms of sequence, does that make Adam superior to Hawa? Absolutely not. Why? Because they were made from the exact material, which is mud.
Yeah.
So why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feel so powerless that he says, like, oh, I got to create her from Adam's broken rib? Because based on that, they say, and this is like a very common saying within even the Arabic world, I'm not sure in other cultures, because I have contact with the Arabic culture. They always say, maybe you've heard that expression that says, Mar'a oja, we say, the woman always bent, she's always backwards. And they say, because she was created from that backbone of Adam, that rib backbone, because it's got, you know, that bent to it.
Yeah.
And this is until today, people still use it. Mind you, even religious people still use that expression. We're not saying all of them, but at least a lot of people still using that expression when they kind of do not get very well with women, whether they're spouses or their daughters or what have you. Like, okay, so she was created that way.
Mm.
Who said? You trying to assume something to Allah that he didn't do. Allah says, no, you and her were created from the exact same material.
So from now on, if we hear such a notion, then we would understand that this shows the ignorance of the person saying it.
Exactly. And the problem is that not only the ignorance of the person saying it, but even that person himself has derived that mentality from books. So we have a duty to go and re-educate the masses.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the problem grows when they attribute it to Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam.
Prophet. For the school of thought of the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim, they stand very firm in these cases, in these matters. You can't go wrong with that. So, for example, if a non-Muslim wants to understand the position of women from an Islamic perspective, when he does a Google search, the first thing that comes up is not Qala Sadiq.
Yeah.
But Qala Rasulullah, but where? That image, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That image, this is what they're going to understand. They're not going to go to Imam Sadiq. So we have to re-educate the masses in this regard.
Yeah, Allah, so the authenticity of the words you hear is very important.
Very important. And then, obviously, we have the main references, the Quran.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
The Quran says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, that he created from within yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So like males and females together, they were just, you know, they were created from the exact same material and just into two different beings, just two different genders.
Yeah.
As far as material is concerned, as far as the spirit is concerned, is exactly the same. أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, partners so that you can live with one another.
Yeah.
So this is how Islam has looked at women from the initial creation. Because like I always say that if the, as human beings, or even males or females or what have you, when we don't understand the basics about who we are, what makes us, then the whole empire will collapse. And this is one of the reasons that we have feminism from one side, we have masculinism from one side, and the throwing bombs at each other is just because they never understood it.
Exactly. Yeah. The
how it's meant to be, especially for me as a Muslim. Obviously, my requirements are different. I have a different requirements. I have different way of seeing things. So in terms of that, this is how Allah looked at it. And then Allah moves up a step further. He's like, okay, now we created you from the same thing. You both, absolutely, there's no difference between you two. The only difference is that one was created.
The material is the same.
Material is the same. That nothing different. Allah classifies women in two things in the Quran. One, he classifies her as a human being. And one, he classifies her as a female. Women and men are equal in this regard, as humans. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. We have honored the sons of Adam. Okay? So the sons of Adam, that includes both males and females.
Female.
And in that, again, there is no one superior to another. No, you're superior to me, nor am I superior to you.
Of course.
Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, in terms of humanity, anything when Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nas, or he talks about Bashar in the Quran, women and men are always included in this ayat, without exception.
Exactly.
So if men are, if human beings are glorified, so are women. If the human beings are looked down at, then that includes men and women. And
so what makes us superior from each other? What distinguishes the difference? What is the thing? I guess it's the piety.
There you go. So Allah, again, when he talks about the gender, he brings them in one verse.
As up until now, we have talked about an introduction about how women were looked at and how much of difference Islam has brought to that perspective. I'm sure there's still a lot more to talk about, but unfortunately time is flying so fast and we do not have any much more of time. That's why I have to bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.